Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. All of the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a service department that backs it all up, including diagnostics, inspections, and the routine. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Embiid shows hard on the switch. Embiid with the steal, quick hands, two on one. Harris calls for the lob, got it, and punched it. 76ers with a nice sprint here to end this first half. They lead by nine.
Mark Jones with the call last night as the Sixers beat the Lakers without Anthony Davis or without LeBron James. Does that count as a win, Matt? Just asking.
A win is a win.
Wow, you're desperate. All right. now it counts as a win, believe me. Now let's go down and talk with Tommy McCarthy. Tommy, great to have you back. How you been?
I'm doing great. Back here in the Philadelphia area, getting ready for a little basketball, and it's a little chillier here than it was in Clearwater, Steve.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, by a wide margin, as a matter of fact. wide margin. First of all, great job in Dayton with Lav and with Avery Johnson and John Rothstein. What was it like being in that atmosphere in Dayton, which is a great place to hold the first four anyway, but having fans back, what kind of impact did you think that had on the first four?
Overwhelming, I think. Sold out both nights and just a tremendous, as you said, tremendous venue. You know, I always tell people that I invite them, if they're big basketball fans or even football fans or baseball fans, but basketball fans, I invite them to, I say you have to go to the Palestra, you've got to go to Allen Fieldhouse, if you can get to Cameron Indoor Stadium, great. But I'm telling you, Dayton is a fantastic place to watch college basketball. And the energy in that building for both nights was It was very refreshing from a college basketball standpoint, and really I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. It was just so great to be part of it.
And you know, I know they've redone areas of the arena since, but I did an NIT game there in '98. They had 11,000 people there for an NIT game in '98. Yeah. Like, you got to be kidding me! This is remarkable. They just really embrace it. What was the general impression you got out of the first four? Because like a team like Notre Dame gets out of there, and they advance at least around. Indiana got out of there as well. What did you think about the caliber of competition?
Well, I thought there were definitively three teams there. I should say four teams because I'll count Wyoming too. I think all four teams could have easily gone to the regular part of the tournament and won two games. I mean, I know Notre Dame, you know, won two overall and won their first round game after winning in Dayton. But high quality basketball. That Rutgers team, I'm not telling you, Steve, that you don't know anything because you saw them. That Rutgers team is a heck of a team. I mean, that just was a tough matchup for them. It was an entertaining game, and listen, they would have been tough for anybody if they got to the first rounds.
Right, exactly right. I have to ask you about the foul ball. Tommy McCarthy gets right in the chest, and guess what? Doesn't skip a beat.
So we were having internet problems in the booth at that particular for about an inning or so, and we were talking about the CBA, and there was an article that I had sent myself earlier in the day that was on my computer, but I couldn't, for some reason, I thought I had stored it as a regular file, but I didn't, so I couldn't call it up because there was no internet service. So I had it on my phone. I knew I had it on my phone. So we were talking about it, and I just looked down right before the pitch to Haseley, and I mean, it was I really didn't even feel it. It was funny. I don't know if it's because it hit the wire first, but I didn't even feel it. And it was it's one of those things. We make fun of people all the time for being on their phones and not paying attention. Well, we've got to kind of listen to our own lecturing when it comes to that stuff.
Oh my goodness! Later, number one, did it leave a mark?
It didn't. It didn't. But I still have the ball.
Okay. And number two, did you feel it later?
No, well, you know, it's funny. My son was with me. My son Tommy, who still plays professional baseball,
sure.
He's in the independent leagues. We were back at the hotel that night, and I said, "You know, it's weird. I do feel it a little bit in my shoulder, but that was it for maybe that night." And I woke up the next day; I was totally fine. So, I really didn't feel it at all. And I think I'm lucky that it wasn't 2 or 3 inches higher.
Yeah. All right, can we talk about the team for a moment? Because it's interesting. They bring in Nick Castellanos. They bring in Kyle Schwarber. Now, neither one of them is a great defensive player, but both of them provide, at moments, some outstanding offense. So what do they do to the balance of the Phillies lineup on an everyday basis?
Well, I think they give Joe a chance to have power right, left throughout the lineup. And I felt like we needed at least one more bat. And the fact that they got two is huge. I'm still a little concerned about the pitching, but I think that you have two guys that could. I mean, Castellanos did it last year. He drove in 100 runs. But you have two guys that have the ability to drive in 100 runs. And to me, that's a big deal in this lineup. I mean, even Schwarber is a leadoff hitter, and I think he will be the leadoff hitter. You know, he can pop it out of the ballpark to start the game, and that's pretty refreshing to have that ability. You know, I don't know. One of them is going to have to DH, even though Castellanos joked during the press conference, although he didn't really joke too much in the press conference. He was a really serious dude. He still takes ground. Wasn't he serious? Steve, it was like one day we had Schwarber, who was happy-go-lucky, intense, you know, funny. And then
Schwarber's the life of the party in the clubhouse. Castellanos is not.
No, I wasn't expecting it, but I think Joe said it yesterday on the telecast. He answered like 7 or 8 questions with a question. Are you an intense ball player? I mean, it just seems like you're an intense ball player. Well, do I look like I'm an intense ball player? Yes, you do.
Oh, my goodness. What role do you, you referenced the DH. What kind of comfort level do the Phillies have in these two signings because of the DH?
Yeah, I think big time. I think that's the key. If the pitcher was still hitting, I don't know if they would have gone after both Schwarber and Castellanos. I think they would have gone after Chris Bryant and one of them, if that makes any sense, because the other would play left field. I think the DH really, it's the reason that they were comfortable with going to get both of these guys, because I do think you're going to see Joe swap out the DH position an awful lot. You know, there could be 20 games where Harper DHs. There could be 20 games where Schwarber DHs. There could be 20 games where Hoskins DHs. You know, that type of thing. And I think he's going to use it to get guys off their feet to a certain extent. But I think Castellanos will do it more often than that, but I think that they'll swap it back and forth.
All right. So what's your feeling about it? The 2020 season had the DH. It was one of those necessary situations. Last season did not. Everyone knew it was coming. Is it an adjustment for you as a fan of baseball, or were you in favor of it anyway?
I was never in favor of it until I felt last year pitchers just weren't, I don't want to say weren't trying, but really weren't trying. So to me, I sort of gave in. I'm a big believer in the, and I'm not one of those guys that says that baseball needs to be played the way it was played in the 70s and 80s, but I was a big believer that the National League and the American League should be different when it came to the DH. I would have preferred the pitcher hitting. But last year, I think I kind of wavered a little bit because the only guy that really put together any kind of justifiable at-bats for the Phillies was Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. Everybody else just kind of went through the motions. So I was like, you know what, if they're not going to try, let's get somebody else in there that's going to put some numbers up there. So I am okay with it. Best case scenario would be that the pitcher hit, but I think our game, I need to evolve with our game. That's one of the goals I even had for myself this year, was to start evolving more with the game and embracing the greatness of the game and not being as critical of the game as maybe my mind had me being over the last several years.
Very fair. Very fair. What does this shortened spring training mean to ramping up pitchers where they're fully stretched out to actually give what you would perceive to be for that particular individual a normal outing?
That's a really good question. You know, I think the one part of the game that still does bother me and would allow me, I would like to get on my soapbox a little bit, is I don't think starters go deep enough into games.
I agree.
And I think that's what's cost our game to a certain extent. So I'm hoping that the DH will allow guys to go deeper into games.
Agreed.
And I also think that we as an organization may be trying to figure out how to build up more durability in the lower levels to have guys ready to go deeper into games at the higher levels.
I've got to now ask you about being in Philadelphia for basketball. That is one of the more intriguing brackets across the board, because just so everybody knows, the attendance for the last St. Peter's game at home was 577.
Yeah. Was 577. Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's not pretend, oh, they sell out every game and there's just a wave of emotion. There's a lot of people
they're going to all of a sudden bring 10,000 people with them.
Right. There's a lot of people that sprained ankles jumping on that bandwagon in the last 10 days.
Exactly. Yeah, my family, my brothers and my other family being part of that, because I was born in Jersey City. My dad went to St. Peter's games when he was younger. You know, it was less than a mile from his house where he grew up, all this stuff. I still have a ton of family up there. And my brother posted something on social media about JC in the house, Jersey City in the house. And I said, you cannot jump on this bandwagon right now. but I think it's cool. You know, I talked to Shaheen. We talked to Shaheen Holloway today for our pregame show. And really humbled and, you know, understands the magnitude because he played in the NCAA tournament. It's a great story. I don't think another chapter is going to be written against Purdue. I mean, you know how good Purdue is.
Yeah.
Although, I did North Texas Purdue last year.
And North Texas won.
And Matt Painter reminded me of that today. North Texas won. So... Yeah. Who knows?
Yet the other half of the bracket's fun. So, I mean, that's what makes this intriguing. The other half of the bracket, one has David Goliath. The other bracket, half of the bracket, is really intriguing.
It's intriguing because of the lineage, the history.
Yes.
But I also think the styles, if everybody's healthy... North Carolina's playing at a high level right now. The Manic kid, the transfer from Oklahoma's been in a different world shooting the basketball.
Yeah.
You know, Jaime Jaquez, whether he's healthy or not, that's a big deal for UCLA. That's going to be a big deal. His ankle, I was at practice today. He did do a little bit. He didn't do a whole lot. It's going to be a really cool matchup. I wish it wasn't at 9:40 at night. I wish it was earlier. For everybody to get a chance to watch. You know, I know it's Friday night, so people are up a little later. But I think it's one of the better games to kick off Sweet 16. I know there's games tonight, but I think it's one of the better games, theater-wise, that the NCAA has left.
When you talk to Hubert Davis, he does not play the way that Roy Williams played. He had to incorporate a new style. How long did it feel to him that it took for his team to adapt to how he wanted to play the game as opposed to the way Roy played it forever?
Great question. The last month, he said, they've adapted and have come together. You know, coaches, this year I think I've heard this more than any other year, connectivity. He feels like they're connected. They have the two transfers. He said it took them time to get used to Carolina basketball. He has the freshmen that are playing, but he said it took time for those freshmen to get used to it. They had high expectations. They were ranked 19th preseason, and then they faltered.
Yeah.
And they were a bubble team for a good part of the year. But I think the last month, he said today, he feels like they are connected more and more. And he admitted that he doesn't play the same style that Roy Williams played, even though he was on Roy's coaching staff. But he said he's adapted to the players, that's why, more than anything else.
And then as for UCLA, I mean, he barely made it back to the bench and did not put his sneaker back on in the game that they played. But this is a team that took this road from the first four, ironically, and got to the national championship last year. Is anything, when you talk to the UCLA people, do they understand the pressure of it? But if they don't make it there, is it a failure for them because of where they were last year?
It may be a little bit. You know, if Hawkes isn't going to play, it's going to be really hard for them to get past North Carolina. But I
agreed.
I think their expectation is because of their veteran status and their understanding of Mick Cronin's offense and the way he wants them to play defense more than anything else. I think it would be a disappointment if they don't get back to the Final Four. I really do.
Well, I'll say this. You dealt with four great coaches to talk to. Mick is great to talk to. I mean, you know,
we took a photo, too, because people think that we're brothers from another mother. So I said it has to do with the hairstyle more than anything else, because I'm about 8 feet taller than he is. So.
Very true. Hey, Tommy, thanks a lot for the time. I really appreciate it. Hey, what team might your son sign with this year independently?
Yeah, so I think he'd still like to go back to Gary in the American Association, but we'll see. I mean, he's talked to a bunch of other teams. I think he wants to give it one more shot to play. You know, he's 24. He's coaching his college team right now. He's the assistant coach. And he's finishing up his master's. And, you know, we told both of our boys and even our daughters, particularly from a baseball standpoint for him, play until it's out of your system, because we don't want down the road for you to say, shucks, I should have played two more years.
Good for you.
As long as he's productive, and he is, he's getting his master's and he's coaching, then I think that, you know, I would have played until I was 50. So if he's got way better skills than anybody in my family has, so I would like him to keep playing.
That's great, Tommy. That's great advice, too. That's why, you know, it's interesting. In my broadcasting class, I tell them, I said, look, don't be at 35, I pick as a number, and have regrets you didn't try it.
Yeah. Like,
don't have regrets. You know?
Nope, so. I agree. The canvas can always be repainted, but it has to be on your terms and not somebody else's terms. And that's what I always tell my kids.
Well put, Tommy. Well put. Hey, have a great time with this. Can't wait for the baseball season as well. And thanks for your time today, my friend.
You got it. Anytime.
Tommy McCarthy joining us from Philadelphia, where it's colder than Clearwater. Kind of like Matt's heart after a Yankee loss.
That's awesome. I had no idea that T-Mac was from Jersey City. I have tons of family in Jersey City, and I can also attest to what he said. I can confirm, in fact, I saw some cousins that still live in Jersey City, and they said every sports bar was dead when St. Peter's won the first two games.
It just... Again, as I said, there are people jumping on that bandwagon that are all limping around left and right because they all sprained ankles doing it.
Guess what? I'm one of them.
Now, Do I think they now look? They did not match up with Kentucky, okay? But they won. They didn't match up with them, but they won. Second round, not a great match, but they won. I mean, do they match up with Purdue? No. But I'll tell you about Purdue. Purdue, Eric Hunter is a good point guard and has made a difference. He's a better player than Isaiah Thompson. When they started the season, Isaiah Thompson was the point guard. Hunter is the better point guard. All right. Stefanovic, for whatever reason, Matt, he is not just a good three-point shooter. He is has the capability of being an outstanding three-point shooter. Yet he has not been a swing guy in the three-point game for about a month now. I mean, it's kind of disappointing in some ways, the way he's played. The problem is this. Edie comes in, and he's a tough handle for anybody. I mean, he's a gigantic man. He is 7'4". I mean, he kind of reminds me of you. And it's, you know, but then they bring Travion Williams off the bench, and he's such a different style of player. He's, you can double Edie, but you can't double Williams. And the reason you can't double Williams is he's such a, not a good, he is legitimately a great passer. I asked Micah Shrewsbury about him because Micah coached him for 2 years. I said, what level passer is this guy? And he said, Steve, you know, I've coached a lot of guys in the NBA and in college. He's the best passer I've ever coached. Regardless of position, the best passer I ever coached. Wow. I mean, this guy coached Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. That's the best passer he's coached. The big man. See, it's the difference in styles in the two centers that's going to cause problems. And, you know, I didn't even get to Ivy yet, but it's going to cause problems for St. Peter's. All right. Come back more in a moment. North Carolina, you said it's going to be a heck of a game. See, North Carolina's finally found itself. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a service department that backs it all up, from the routine to inspections to diagnostics. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Another tough day for Matt. He's got a lot of elements that he's not happy about. Yeah.
It was just more of the same from the Sixers, despite the win last night. That's all. That's all I got on the docket for today.
That's the only hate that you have?
At this point, yes.
Well, first of all, Mike McCarthy, the coach of the Cowboys, was here today.
I saw that, as was Dan Quinn, right?
Dan Quinn, John Lynch, the 49ers GM, Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM was here today. In fact, the Packers were very well represented at Pro Day today. Very well represented. And including wide receiver coach Jason Vrabel, who was here, who talked with Jahan Dotson. By the way, Ellis Brooks put up some good numbers today, including a 4.7. What did he run? 4.71 in the 40. I had to laugh because I was standing with a couple of people, and they were doing 40s. And Brooks goes by, and I said, "That's probably a 4.7." And they said 4.71. Oh. Then Hartlob went by, and I said, "I said I'm going to say 4.30. It's 4.31. They looked at me and said, "What? What? Yeah, I mean, you're like Cotrillo. You act like I don't know what I'm talking about."
Oh, my almighty!
Just concerned. So, Drew Hartlob, by the way, it was funny because he runs his 40. And James yells out, "Fast, very, very fast."
I saw that.
I think he was, look, he has run a 4.25, just so you know.
Wow.
There was a year where, I think it was 2 years ago. So Journey Brown, KJ Hamler, they never could get KJ Hamler to run 40s. They finally forced him to run a 40. And so they ran 40s, and Journey ran 4.29, KJ ran 4.27, and Hartlob ran 4.25. Unbelievably fast. So. They were asking, somebody was asking me about Jordan Stout, the fact that he does all three. And I said, "Look," I said, "he's proficient in all three." I said, "But I'll give you the bonus." They go, "What's the bonus?" I said, "In the 2020 season, Stout was the holder." They went, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." So, in fact, today they had him hold. Because remember, in the NFL, if they bring you in as a punter, they want you to hold. They don't use quarterbacks anymore in that spot. Nasty storm moved in today. The Pirates and the Phillies were tied 3-3 at the end of 5. Mitch Keller tossed 3 scoreless innings, shattered a couple of bats with 100-mile-per-hour fastballs, and it was said to be an embarrassing performance by the Phillies. That's not good. No, I'm just kidding. Not good. We're going to get Rob Beer Temple on the show here at some point. And by the way, Tony Knopp is going to join us on Monday. We have not a little, a lot to talk about with Tony Knopp. There is a lot going on with Tony Knopp. Because we have the Big Ten TV contract coming up. We are, I think it's a year away from them negotiating a new deal with the NCAA. Right now, the other 87 sports, including women's basketball, are all lumped into the same deal. They want to separate the women's basketball deal. Women's basketball, to its credit, on ESPN, the ratings are up 15% from last year. The men's basketball tournament, the ratings are up 12% from last year. I mean, the Duke-Michigan State game drew 11 million viewers. How about that? Now, if you're wondering about the NCAA women's tournament, the average per game is right around 400,000. Now, it's up 15%. That's really good. But remember, the two Penn State Big Ten network games in the tournament were 810,000 and 690,000, just to give you some perspective. But still, that's really good. I don't. You know what I don't have yet? I don't have the NCAA wrestling rankings or ratings in yet. This is Thursday. Let me look at it. Yeah, I was a good producer would have looked this up for me, but I got to do almost everything myself. But what? No? Not good?
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells fouled up.
If you weren't so obsessed with the Sixers, who right now are just really, you know, I mean, they haven't started the playoffs yet. I'm concerned about you, man. Got concerns.
They're making me a little nervous, that's all.
Do I seem nervous?
You? No.
No, not. All right, NCAA Wrestling Television Ratings. Let's see if it's out. It may or may not be out. I mean, it did go to Saturday. So let's just see if we've got anything in here yet. Broadcast info, brackets, winners. Yeah, we already did that. Streaming. Streaming numbers are so irrelevant. You want to know why streaming numbers are irrelevant? People brag about their streaming numbers. But, in other words, if we're sitting there, let's just take Aaron Brooks. Aaron Brooks is going to wrestle. Matt wants to watch Aaron Brooks, but he doesn't really know what time Aaron Brooks is wrestling. So he'll click in, not wrestling. Click in, not wrestling. He'll click in 7 or 8 times when he's not wrestling. And the 9th time he clicks in, he's wrestling. They're going to count all 9 clicks as you being on there, as 9 individuals clicking in. I mean, that's why it's irrelevant. That's the reason why. I tell everybody it's really irrelevant, like, you know, because you can click in like 25 times and you register as 25. I mean, that's what, you know. Men's tournament off to best start 5 years. Ratings Saturday primetime NASCAR. I don't know what that means. I'm on Sports Media Watch here. Let's see. NASCAR Phoenix audience up. Heritage Classic. Women's Selection Show. Players. Paralympics. Let's see. That's not. It may not be out yet. Sure, ESPN will put out a press release here if it's really good. And there's a chance I'm sure it was really good. Penn State draws. But I was just wondering where it went. You know, like the pure numbers of it. St. Peter's upset of Kentucky leads tournament viewership. Hey, interesting. I'll tell you, the Big Ten, let's see, outside the Big Ten, ratings for major college basketball conference title games rebounded significantly in championship week. Iowa-Purdue, though, had 4 million on CBS, the smallest audience for the game since 2018. Wow. I wonder why. That's very interesting. Wow. Down 8%. Virginia Tech-Duke. Now, that's the... Iowa-Purdue had the most viewers, and the highest rating, but declined 8% from last year. Interesting. Virginia Tech-Duke was second. Tennessee and your failure, Texas A&M team. Right? In the NIT. Up 45%. Kansas-Texas Tech up 47%. Boise-San Diego State up 2%. Houston, Memphis up 25% from last year. Arizona, UCLA up 21%. Villanova, Creighton up 11%. Richmond, Davidson up 37%. But Gonzaga, St. Mary's was down 8% from last year. Wow. Very interesting. That's for the conference tournament championship games. Very interesting. How about that? Yeah, the ratings must not be out for. Although, if they've got St. Peter's, Kentucky on here, rating Saturday primetime. Rating Saturday primetime mascots. I mean, this would have been. That would have been when it was on, right?
Yeah, it had to have been. That is a little surprising, then.
Not on here. ABC's Saturday NBA lineup, 2.98 million viewers, up 32% from last year. 26% higher than 2 years ago. Celtics, Mavs, Lakers, Suns, they all did fine. ESPN drew 1.62 million for Nuggets and Sixers, down 200%. It said, "Thank goodness for the Nuggets." No, it was actually up. It was actually up 44%. Wow. Heritage Class. They don't have anything on wrestling in here. Women's selection show averaged 1.19 million viewers, largest audience since 2005. Players' Championship at 1.35 million viewers, rain delayed on Golf Channel. So the players did well on a Monday afternoon. They got 1.35 million. The recent Beijing Winter Paralympics averaged 165,000 viewers, up 62% from 2018, so that's really good. They have primetime coverage on March 11th, 1.34 million. That's the largest ever for the Winter Paralympics.
Wow.
That's really cool. That's great.
I would not have expected that.
No, I think that's great. That's great. I mean, what's interesting is that, you know, and you talk about the women's selection show. That actually is the lowest numbers of this whole group here, to be honest with you. I mean, 1.19, 1.35, 1.34. That's good. I wonder why the wrestling numbers aren't in here. Because it does include, like, for example, TNT. See, they got TNTs on here with the Heritage Classic. Leafs and Sabres Heritage Classic outdoor game, up 98% from the previous Heritage Classic in 2019. I mean, so that's on there. That's TNT. Wow. I thought maybe we'd have that number by now. Yeah, I'm sure it'll go out in a press release here. I mean, there's going to be a lot about the streaming part of it, but again, I'm telling you right now, the streaming part to me is, in terms of, to me, doesn't have the impact that some people have with it. It doesn't have much impact with me. And the reason it doesn't is because, again, you click in 20 times trying to find the match that you want to watch, and it's not there, you count as 22 viewers. No, that's not how it goes. So, Well, I don't know. Let's see. Now we got the brackets. I already know the brackets. In fact, I can predict on the brackets who won. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Deshaun Watson has... Again, I go back to the baffling decision made by the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. Second grand jury is now mulling charges against Deshaun Watson. And again, he will not take, you know, he's not going to take the stand. It's not like he's out there being defended. It's up to the prosecution to put together a case that a grand jury then forwards to a trial. I mean, that's a grand jury. The Browns declined comment. I would, too. I'd be in the fetal position, just hoping everything's all right here. But it is two women who didn't sue Watson also filed police complaints. the they're saying there's 17 more depositions of Watson still to take as part of the 22 lawsuits that have been filed against him. They said there are four women who have yet to file the suit, whom he expects will do so. As far as additional lawsuits, I've been contacted by additional women who I'm deciding whether I'm going to take their case or somebody else will, that are wanting to file suit against Deshaun Watson. He also expects there will be additional women who file criminal complaints. Again, I mean, that is the issue here. I can't look at my fan base until everything's in the clear. It can't always be about talent. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. People are not perfect. There are people that make mistakes. Okay, but these charges go beyond mistakes. You have to be completely in the clear. Before I move on, I can't have talent override. And when I'm looking at my fan base, I'm saying, we signed this guy. In other words, I'm sitting there. Who's the more talented quarterback, Deshaun Watson or Jalen Hurts? It's Deshaun Watson. He's the better quarterback. There's no getting around it. But if I'm signing the quarterback on this day, this hour, I'm signing Jalen Hurts. Right? There's nothing off the field other than good things to say about Jalen Hurts from everything we understand. Right? Watson's the better quarterback. Hurts is the guy I'd sign. I'd sign Mitchell Trubisky before I sign Watson. I've got to be able to look my fan base in the eye and say, you know what? We're doing the best we can, but we're also trying to do it with some standards. That's how I look at it. Again, people are not perfect. All right? So people, there are other players along the way that have some problems. But this is so extensive. You have to really, in other words, I'm sitting there, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, and I'm looking at the Texans saying, hey, guess what? He's your player. I'm not going to take this on. I'm going to go a different direction. This is the part where Matt uses the word, what a dope.
Well, that goes without saying.
But you've been aching to say it all day. In fact, you enjoy saying it.
I just give you my honest opinion, that's all.
Oh, yeah, because again, all Philadelphia fans are real. They never get any free agents. That's also real. I'm not going there.